Why is it that so many of us are quick to help others, but we'd never dream of asking for it ourselves? I am Rob West. Studies show that Christians are generous people, willing to help when we see a need. But do we hide our needs from others when we could use a hand? I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, many churches have benevolence funds to help, primarily members, get through a financial rough patch. And no doubt, most church members gladly support those funds and want to see them used wisely as needed. But I'll go out on a limb and say that a lot of folks who readily support their church having a benevolence fund would and have found it difficult to ask for help from it. Now, why is that? Well, no doubt one reason is that we see asking for help as being a burden on others. We would gladly go without some necessity and maybe even see our families go without rather than burden someone else. And yet Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So you see, God never intended for us to be rugged individualists, going our own way. He meant for us to live in a Christian community, centered around the local church and extending outward. God wants us to share each other's burdens, but that's not possible if we don't make ours known. Maybe we don't want to appear vulnerable or weak, so we keep our needs secret, telling no one that we need help. Or we might tell ourselves that others can't help us or they don't want to. Here, we must be careful because some of these reasons could be rooted in sin, the sin of pride. Proverbs 11:2 tells us, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom." You know, asking for help, especially financial help, can be a humbling experience, one many of us would rather avoid. It's even more difficult when the need arises from a mistake or a poor decision we've made. Yet perhaps the act of seeking help is part of the lesson, a reminder to reflect and learn and avoid repeating the same mistake in the future. But even if your present difficulty is through no fault of your own, God can still use the experience to shape your character more like Christ, to teach you something you need to learn, and it quite likely has to do with letting go of pride and surrendering yourself in humility to the Lord. Even the Apostle Paul received financial support for his ministry from time to time. In Philippians 4:19, he thanks the church of Philippi, saying, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." So, if you need financial help, ask for it. We may believe that God helps those who help themselves, but there is a reason that saying isn't found in the Bible. It contradicts its message. Jesus himself modeled humility, relying on Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna for support during his earthly ministry in Luke 8, 1-3. If the Son of God could accept help from others, so can we. Start by sharing your needs with your church community. If no one within the church can assist directly, there's a good chance someone knows someone outside the church who can. The body of Christ is an extensive network of people and resources ready to support and serve in times of need. Okay, we've gone over several reasons why you may not want to ask for help, but here are the main reasons why you should do it. It glorifies God. How, you might ask? Well, first, asking others for help glorifies God because in our weakness, His strength is revealed. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul writes, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When we are weak and admit it, we give others the opportunity to help. Conversely, if you keep quiet about your need, you deny others the chance to help, and they may really want to help. Ultimately, you deny God the opportunity to provide for you through others. When you find yourself in a difficult situation, you're more likely to go to God in prayer, asking Him for help. The Bible encourages this. 1 John 5:14 teaches, "If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." When you pray for God's help according to His will, He will help. Not with bags of money falling from heaven, but through other people and circumstances. Maybe He provides a new opportunity for you to earn more. The point is, to get help, you have to ask for it, and that includes and begins with asking the Lord. It's good to do because it not only glorifies the Father, it allows others to be generous as they're called to do. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. On this day in history, the famous Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon entered into glory. He was just 57 years old when he died, and he was honored then for his faithful preaching. But what was it that made his preaching so impactful? Spurgeon preached Christ. No matter the text of Scripture, he could show how it was revealing something about our Savior. And he took to heart how in Luke 24, Jesus had made that claim about himself. It says, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself." And so too, may we never lose the wonder Spurgeon had, that all the Bible is intended to point us to Jesus. Anchor Devotional can help you spend time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Well, I'm so glad you've joined us today for Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're going to begin taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. This is the program we dedicate to helping you live as a faithful steward. Now, we're stewardship over all kinds of things. Once we surrender our lives to Jesus, we're stewards of our time, and we're stewards of our gifts and abilities. We're stewards of God's Word and our relationships, but we're also stewards of God's money. That's right. It all belongs to Him, and whatever you have been entrusted, however little or however much, and no matter what season you're in, a season of struggle or a season of plenty or surplus, we want to be found faithful. That means putting everything under the Lordship of Christ, accepting our role as steward with stewardship responsibilities, not ownership rights, as a caretaker of the King of Kings resources, and heeding the counsel of Scripture, a biblical worldview that should inform our view of money and its role and place in our lives as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, which includes enjoying it and providing, but it also includes, I think, giving it away and even deploying it through our investments. Remember, the purpose of investment is to supply capital to businesses that are providing goods and services and getting a return in exchange for that? Well, what if we align our values with our investments? So all of these things are kind of wrapped up in this idea of financial decision making, and we want to help you on that journey as you get very specific about the questions you're wrestling with in your financial life. So the question for you is, what's on your mind today? Let's talk about it. I've got lines open. You can call right now. They will be filling, so this is a great time to call with your financial question. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now, and we'll begin taking those questions here in just a moment. In the news today, it's common knowledge that the Social Security Trust Fund will be empty by around 2035. It's a bit of a moving target, but that's kind of the consensus at this point. Estimates are that benefits would then have to be reduced to about 83% of current levels. I've seen numbers as low as 75%, but certainly 75% is on the low end. That's, though, of course, unless Congress takes steps to correct the problem. But what should those steps be? That's a subject of a lot of debate. A new survey of 2,200 Americans by the National Academy of Social Insurance shows that 85% of respondents want benefits to stay the same or increase. That's not surprising. What is a little surprising is that they don't mind raising FICA taxes on employees from 6.2% to 7.2% to solve the funding shortfall. Only 15% of respondents said they wouldn't mind reducing benefits if it meant avoiding a tax increase. Even more popular among those surveyed was eliminating the payroll tax cap for individuals earning over $400,000. Without the cap, those taxes could increase on higher income earners, even though their Social Security benefits would stay the same. They cap out. Also, those surveyed were not enthusiastic about raising Social Security's full retirement age, now at 67, as a way to solve the problems that we have and the program's funding shortfalls. So this, of course, will be a subject of much debate, especially as we draw closer to that 2035 date where the trust fund runs dry. But again, keep in mind, that doesn't mean without changes, everything, you know, those entitlements go away. They will just be reduced to somewhere between 75 and 83% of current levels. But my thought is that's not going to happen. That's just too unpopular for today's legislators. And so as a result, we will see changes. It will probably be a combination of some of these things that we talked about today, higher FICA taxes, perhaps pushing out the full retirement age, perhaps lifting that cap, payroll tax cap for individuals that are high earners. I will say another piece of this is growing our economy, which is why I think President Trump's focus on deregulation and energy and really getting out of the way of business to do what business does, you know, can also be a part of the solution here as well. But with all that said, it's something we'll continue to watch for sure. All right, let's dive into your questions today. I've got room for you. If you have a financial question today, whether it's your spending plan and trying to stay on budget, maybe it's paying off some debt, perhaps you want to get that credit score up or invest wisely for the future, or maybe you're just wrestling with something you see in Scripture related to money management, you want to talk about it, all of those topics and more are in play today. 800-525-7000, you can call right now. Let's go to Maryland. Hi, Denise. You'll be first up. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question. The thing is, my husband had heart surgery in 2021 of October, and from that operation, he became bedbound and paralyzed.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He was in two, and he just turned 65. He was in two facilities for 8 months, and he almost died four times. And I said, you know what? I got to bring him home. Yep. And he's been with me since 2021, so I'm his caregiver. I'm about, so I don't have a job. I take care of him full time. I'm like $20,000 in debt. I called National Debt Relief yesterday and to try to get some guidance from them, and they said that I would have a payment of $317 for 48 months. And I'm like, okay, right now I don't have any income. He's just getting the Social Security. And that's how we like making it, you know, to live.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you can give me some guidance. What can I do? I did apply for a waiver program that they have in Maryland that you will get paid to take care of your loved one. However, I did the application in 2023 and still is pending. And I know they said the funds are like tied up. So if you can help me try to figure out and navigate through this, because I feel bad that, you know, I'm in this situation. And the next thing, I had an account with Lending Club for $4,000, and I had got the payment down to $1,800. But because of not having any money, the payment is back to $4,000. I found that out yesterday. So I don't know. But thank you for taking my call.
Well, happy to, Denise. And I'm so sorry to hear about your husband, and grateful for your willingness to step in there. I know that's created some challenges financially, and so we want to certainly help you make a step forward here. When you, the last thing you said about the 2,000 going to 4,000, what was that related to?
That was a personal loan that I had got. I had got a $4,000 loan with Lenders Club.
Oh, okay.
And I got them from Credit Card Karma. I got them off of there. And I had paid everything down before life happened. Paid everything down to like $1,800, but I found out yesterday that the balance is back to $4,000. I guess with them adding all the fees and stuff.
Yeah, I understand. Is there a possibility that, you know, have you checked, for instance, with Medicaid about possibly getting some in-home assistance? I know some states' Medicaid programs offer home and community-based services.
Well, to believe it or not, they denied me.
Interesting.
Several times. They denied me for food stamps. And I'm like, I'm not working. And basically what my husband gets, it pays the rent.
Okay. Well, what I want you to do is reach out to our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. I also want to connect you with one of our certified Christian financial counselors as well to walk alongside you. Just to help you think about the budget, your steps forward, and then Christian Credit Counselors can get those interest rates down if we can schedule a monthly payment. Stay on the line. We'll talk more off the air. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian Credit Counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of Faith Fi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, everything on AFR is about equipping you with a biblical worldview to engage the culture and, have a God-honoring marriage and pursue the Lord in your own individual walk with Christ. But also in this program to help you manage God's money through the lens of Scripture, because we see big ideas and themes in Scripture that we want to apply to how we view and handle money, how we think about it, the wisdom we apply, how we act with money, how we handle it, the decisions we make every day, and how we communicate about money with those that we love, both, you know, if you're married, your spouse and your kids and your neighbors. So we want to cover the gamut as it relates to those topics here on the program. If you have specific questions, things going on in your financial life you want to wrestle with today, we'd love to hear from you. We do have some space for you. Lines are open right now. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones. Arkansas is where we're headed next. Hi, Jody. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I sure enjoy your program. I drive a lot, and I listen to you almost every day.
Awesome.
I'm 61, and I'm still working full-time, and I don't, you know, think I'm going to retire anytime soon, meaning probably not the next year or so, but I don't have a 401k. But I've got some property that we own, and we owe about, I don't know, $70,000 on it. But the current market shows that I should be able to sell it for like $250,000 to $350,000. And I just have no clue what to, you know, where to put the money that would help us if I did get to retire. And I just have no clue about that.
Yeah. Is this a rental property, Jody?
No, it's not actually. It's just a property we own. We did live there. It does have a, you know, single family home on it, and it's not being utilized. And I just seen the horror stories of people renting property, and they, you know, get bad renters and they tear it up. And I just didn't want to go down that road.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the decision, because we want to leverage this asset the best you can. You certainly could sell it, and you'd probably have some capital gains on it if it's worth more than what you originally paid for it. You know, you would take the selling price minus the original purchase price, minus any improvements you made to the property and expenses related to selling it. And that would leave your gain. And then if you've owned it for more than a year, I suspect you have, you'd have a long-term capital gain. And for most folks, that would be 15% on just that gain. So you'd have some taxes. And then whatever's left after you paid the gain and you paid off the mortgage, then obviously you could invest that. The question is, where do you put that? And, you know, you'd still have a significant sum left over. Let's say you do get 350 and, you know, you pay off that mortgage of 70K. And, you know, you pay the gains. I mean, let's say you have somewhere between $250,000 and $275,000. I'd probably hire an advisor to manage that for you. And, you know, he or she could put that to work and try to grow it alongside you continuing, hopefully, to sock some money away, either by adding to that or putting money into a Roth IRA. You know, and the idea would be you work as long as you can and then perhaps even try to delay Social Security to age 70. And that way you would get 30% more than you're scheduled to get, roughly maybe 25, 26% actually, which is a higher check. And if you're debt-free and you've got, you know, at that point, let's say, you know, $400,000 or $500,000, that you could convert to an income stream, then I think you'd be in pretty good shape. I think the other option is you do think about becoming a landlord, and plenty of people do it. And as long as you've got the reserves and you can cash flow this thing, the nice part about that is you've not only have the appreciation of the property over time, but somebody else is paying the mortgage for you. And hopefully, because the mortgage is small, they could pay the mortgage for you and the taxes and the insurance on the property. And you might even have a little bit left over to continue to reinvest, either to accelerate the mortgage payoff or, you know, to fund that Roth IRA I was talking about. But you would have to be willing to step into that role as landlord. And yes, they could, you know, damage the property, which is why you'd need to set a portion aside for some maintenance. But there's plenty of people that do it and love it, and you've already got the property. So, you know, you're kind of halfway there. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel like it is kind of wasting away, so to speak. And it is in a rural part in the Ouachita Mountains. The National Forest is one of my boundaries. There's a lot of wildlife on it and stuff. And you know, people are trying to say, well, you know, you could Airbnb it or, yeah, you know, do things like that. And I don't know enough about stuff like that. And yeah, I just, you know, I haven't gone down that path. And yeah, I am debt free other than that mortgage that I have. Okay. So, I mean, my wife, yeah, and I are blessed. We are just getting things paid off now, and she's just a few months younger than I am. So we're both basically, you know, 61. So we are raising a grandchild, a 14-year-old girl. And so that's taking a lot of our, you know, income that we make now. It's pretty expensive raising a kid nowadays compared to when we raised our kids, but it was something that the Lord, you know, laid on our heart that we needed to do to give her a chance in life. So,
wow.
But yeah, I just definitely don't want to I've wasted too much money in my life. And finally, you know, trying to get right with the Lord to where I'm not squandering what he's allowing us to have.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I can certainly appreciate that. Well, I think that's really the decision you have to make. I mean, you could certainly Airbnb it and you could explore that. That obviously the churn involved in that, where you got people constantly coming and going, is kind of a whole different deal and can result in more wear and tear on the property versus you finding kind of a long-term renter that you properly vet that comes and stays and makes that their home. You know, that could be a nice middle ground to this thing. You could even get a property management company to kind of oversee the, you know, the maintenance if a toilet stopped up or something like that. There's a cost to that, probably 10% of the rent, but you know, it would take that burden off of you. And again, allow you to make that mortgage payment through that rental income, let that property continue to grow. And now, hopefully, because you're not making the mortgage payment anymore, you've got more to stock away in stocks. And I kind of like the idea of you having a couple of different asset classes going, stocks and real estate. But I think that's a decision for you and your wife to pray about. If you decide to sell it, I'd reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor on our website to help you manage that. It's faithfi.com. Just click find a professional. Call me back anytime if you have other questions, Jody. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. By the way, coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer will stop by, and Walker Wildman from the American Family Association. Jerry joins us each Friday with his market commentary, among other things, including the economy and the markets and how we're progressing now with the first month of 2025 under our belt. So we'll get Jerry's take on the tariffs set to hit tomorrow, 25% on both Canada and Mexico. How will that affect the economy? What is Jerry seeing there? We'll get his take on it. Walker Wildman joins us to update us in this segment as well on corporate engagement and the great work that AFA is doing as shareholders of some of the biggest companies in the world to really bring biblical values to light and advocate for change where needed to these boards of directors. And we always look forward to hearing what Walker and the team have been working on to that end. That's coming up in the next segment. Don't miss that. In the meantime, let's take more of your phone calls today. The number 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Wanda. How can I help?
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
I recently
heard a minister commentator that I respect say that once you are living on your retirement, that you don't have to tithe off your retirement anymore. My husband and I are tithing off of, he's still working and I'm retired, but we are tithing and we find it of great value and really have been so blessed and we've seen such a difference. And the thought of not tithing once he retires, it's concerning. I'm not sure. Is this biblical?
Yeah, it's a good question, Wanda. I would just say first, hearing you talk, I wouldn't change a thing. Number one, we can't outgive God. Number two, I love the principle of the tithe as a beginning point to honor what we see under the Old Covenant and the Old Testament with the Jewish people and what they did with multiple tithes. There was actually three of them, different purposes for them, and they weren't all every year. It came out to about 23 1/3% if you averaged it all together. But I think that's a great place for us to begin our giving for those of us who are no longer under the law of Moses and have seen what Christ has done on our behalf on the cross. And I would say, you know, your ability to give systematically and proportionately as God provides and everything you receive is a gracious gift from him, including, that retirement check. And I would say your demonstration of worship and giving back to him proportionately on that is a great thing. What this pastor or preacher is probably getting at is that if you have been a faithful tither and you've been tithing on the gross income, not after taxes and other deductions, but on the gross amount, then what you're getting back, let's say, from Social Security, part of that includes what you've already paid in and therefore tithed on. And so what he's probably referring to is the fact that although it would be a daunting task to determine exactly how much of every check should be allocated toward a return of what you've already paid in through your FICA taxes during your working years and how much is the gain that came by the Social Security Trust Fund investing it and now returning it to you. And keep in mind, if you were a W-2 employee, not to get too technical here, half of that those FICA taxes were paid by your employer. But nevertheless, you've probably already tithed on at least some of that money that's coming back to you by way of 401k or an IRA that you're pulling money out of and Social Security. So that's probably what he is referring to. But what I would say is that your desire to continue to give faithfully as the Lord provides, regardless of what that source is, I think is absolutely the right heart posture, and I believe God will honor that. But is that helpful at all?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. My heart leapt within me when you started talking, and I know it's about giving away more, not giving it away, because we have certainly just things like I used to – it's stupid things, but I used to buy coat hangers. I can't give them away now. I used to buy socks, just all this stuff that would just disappear, birthday cards. And now I have so many that I'm almost choking on them. I can't even give them away. It's just little things that you don't even think of, or a check that appears when you're not looking for it. And he did mention tithing on the increase. And we are both, we've been blessed to have work that has a retirement to it, a county district retirement. But we've been so blessed by actually, we didn't used to tithe and things would just disappear or go. And he always blessed us. He always, when my husband was out of work for a while, we got a check that we wouldn't expect, or just so many blessings to look for. But now, you know, it's, and even talking about it today, my husband, I had said something and he said, "Are you thinking about not tithing?" And he went into, and he used to be the one that was more reticent. And it just, you really did help me. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, Wanda. And let me encourage you for a second, because what you're sharing here today, I know is a blessing and encouragement to so many that are listening right now, that, you know, here you are in this, you know, fourth quarter of your life and talking about the faithfulness of God and the systematic giving and faithful giving that you've done over the years and how God blesses that. And it's not, this is not prosperity gospel. God is not a cosmic vending machine. We don't give to get. And yet what I've seen in hosting this program and talking to tens of thousands of callers over the years is that when we're faithful in giving and we try to, you know, live on the 90% or, you know, whatever it is that after the giving, somehow it just goes further. And it's just somehow that works, even though you can't make it work on your calculator. That's just how it works in God's economy. And so I think when we have the right heart posture, it shouldn't be about pride. It shouldn't be about control. It really is proportionate, sacrificial, cheerful, and at the end of the day, worshipful. And when we do that, I believe that honors the heart of God. Wanda, thank you for calling today and for your kind remarks about the program. We appreciate it. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Milton. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, sir. How can I serve you?
Okay. Yes. My question is about an IRA account that I have. I rolled over my previous 401k from my employer into that IRA. So I heard you saying in previous programs that the money that is put into an IRA should be taxable income. Can you please clarify how does that work? If I can use money from my checkings or savings to contribute to that 401k, or how does that work?
Yeah. Let me make sure I understand the question. So you had a 401k at work, you separated from that employer, And after doing so, you rolled that that 401k to an individual retirement account, an IRA. Is that correct?
That's right. Positive.
Okay. Yeah, so that was not a taxable event. You went from a pre-tax environment in the 401k to a pre-tax environment in the IRA. So that is not taxable. You took no money out. So that's good. Can you add to that? Yes, you can, so long as you have earned income. Not passive unearned income, but earned income, wages and salaries, or a small business that you run. If you have earned income, you could contribute to put in, you can continue to put into that no matter your age, up to the limit, which if you're over 50 is $8,000 this year, and you could do a spousal IRA on top of that if you're married. So yes, you can continue to pull in. Whenever you pull money out, it's going to be taxable. We got to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never change. On Christ in Prophecy, we'll examine the signs of the times and consider what's really happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. To hear more biblical hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio, and find out what's really going on in the world.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure, living as that faithful steward, heeding the counsel of Scripture and managing God's money as a steward. Remember, we don't have ownership rights. We have stewardship responsibilities. We want to help you to that end each day here on this program as an encouragement, but also giving you some wise counsel. In this segment of the broadcast, we're always pleased to be joined by Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. He joins us each Friday to weigh in on the markets and the economy. Also, riding along with him today, what a treat to have Walker Wildman from the American Family Association. We'll talk about the latest work that AFA is doing in the area of corporate engagement here in just a moment. Gentlemen, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Rob.
Jerry, let's start with the economy. Here we are a month in to 2025. President Trump's moving quickly. You never know what a day will bring with regard to administration. A lot of exciting things happening. We'll get to the tariffs in a minute, but just the overall health of the economy. What are your thoughts?
Well, the markets are indicating that they're looking forward to an economically healthy economy under President Trump. So how do I know that, right? So again, I'm not telling anyone who to vote for. All I'm saying is I'm counting the votes. And every minute of every day, people with their money are voting. And when they buy stocks and sell bonds, they're voting that they think growth is coming. Because stocks are sort of like guaranteed but not as high a return, right? So, the bond. So a bond is like fixed income. You buy it and you get that reliable check every year. That's an interest. It doesn't. If the economy gets better, your interest payment doesn't go up. That's fixed income. So that's kind of like the guaranteed thing. With stock, however, the dividend can go up if the economy is going well and the business is more profitable. So that's variable. You're taking the chance. You're taking the risk. So when people sell the sure thing and buy the variable thing, that means they're optimistic about the future. So in the past months, the stock market's gone up 6%. The bond market, treasury bond market's gone down over 1%. So people are getting out of recession hedges like bonds and into growth prospects by buying stocks, and particularly more like growth-oriented stocks. So that's a vote of confidence about the economy. They also have not been buying gold like they were for several years. So there's been a movement away from gold. Gold is like a hedge against everything. That's like your disaster hedge. So their investors are voting with their dollars. Inflation's probably going to be more under control than it would have been under a Harris presidency. Growth is going to be increasing. So get in there. Put your capital at risk. So that's what they're saying. And by the way, historically, the market's been more right about the economy than any prognosticator, including me as a prognosticator. So I tend to defer to the billions of people in the world, you know, investing trillions of dollars who have skin in the game for what's coming in the future.
Yeah. Jerry, obviously we're to be long-term in our focus with regard to investing always, but the newest data at least gives us a barometer as to what's going on. Two things in particular. One is with these rich valuations, we need corporate earnings to hold up. I guess the most recent what we got last night was Apple that beat expectations. The other big driver seems to be around inflation, and the Fed's favorite indicator of that came in, I guess, in a number that they were pleased with at 2.6% inflation year over year. Your thoughts on both?
Yeah. So one of the things people hadn't really thought about this very much, how could the Trump presidency improve inflation so early? Right? I mean, because it takes time. Well, the fact is that if prospects for growth are good in the United States, that means that foreign investors want dollars. The dollar goes up. So one of the things, this is a very advanced point in economics, but it's also kind of simple. Too much money chasing too few goods is inflationary.
Yeah.
But what that means is if they're not circulating, say if they're held around the world because there's so much demand for the dollar, if our reserve currency status is strengthening rather than weakening, that has an anti-inflationary effect right away. So we're buying things from abroad, but our dollars buy more. The dollars are not circulating domestically here as much as the world demands dollars, as the European economy is faltering, as the Chinese economy is faltering, and we're kind of the most, you know, we're kind of the haven of safety. So you can see inflation come down much more quickly than people expect just by the strengthening of the dollar. So I think, and also, people are not buying inflation hedges like tips very much. And that's an indicator, because I know there's been a lot of media narrative about how the Trump economy is going to be bad for inflation, you know, because he's a big spender or tariffs or whatever. The markets are not saying that. Mainstream media is saying it, but people with skin in the game are not saying that.
Interesting. Jerry, what about those tariffs? Obviously, President Trump in these early days has been far more transparent. I mean, the amount of questions he's answering every day is pretty staggering. And yesterday, he was asked about those tariffs, which are scheduled to go in place tomorrow, 25% for both Mexico and Canada. Perhaps it's no longer just a negotiating point at this point, but actually going to show up as something that's real. How will that affect prices moving forward?
If we really do have tariffs for the long run, that is bad for the not just the global economy, but for the American economy. In the situation with Colombia, he used them as a negotiating tactic. If that's what we're talking about here, it could be good. It could be more trade. And there's something I really want to emphasize. When I speak against tariffs, people say, oh, you're siding with foreigners against Americans. No. Tariffs side with some Americans against others. So if we tariff something that maybe protects steel, I live in Pittsburgh, well, that's fine. But what do the other countries do? The other countries say, we don't want your soybeans anymore, or we don't want your pork products, and we're going to counter tariff. So these industrial tariffs, what they tend to do is side with manufacturing workers in America against farmers. That's not the business we should be in. So I hope that the president's tariffs are negotiating tactics, not a long-term strategy, because tariffs just do not work. They help a few Americans, they harm other Americans, and in general, they're bad for economic growth.
Yeah, that's helpful. Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on it. All right, let's pivot to corporate engagement. Jerry, we'll come back to you, but Walker, I want to get you in the conversation. We mentioned Apple's earnings last night, which were very good. You're working on a different side of Apple, talking to them about what they're doing to protect children. I'd love an update on that.
Yeah, so the annual meeting with Apple's coming up in the next several weeks, and we're going to be presenting a proposal that really just asks Apple to do something simple, and that is conduct a review and a study and a report on why they are not deploying the CSAM, or Child Sexual Abuse Material Scanning Software, in their iCloud environment. That plan has been scrapped in recent years. But it's known through various reporting that Apple devices and Apple cloud services are used by sexual predators and child pornography criminals to host photos. So it's a big issue that Apple really needs to get on top of. So that's one thing that we're focusing on with Apple. The other one is John Deere, and this one's also coming up here in a couple weeks, but I'm going to be presenting before John Deere on their charitable matching program, which actually limits different matching to ministries, to a Christian and other faith-based organizations that perform ministry work and any type of proselytization. They have limits against that. But you can, for example, give a match, a gift to the Human Rights Campaign or the SPLC, and that will get matched, you know, fully. But if you give to a quote-unquote ministry that might be faith-based or Christian-based or otherwise, well, that's not going to be matched in some cases. So that's another area we're pointing out is charitable giving with the John Deere Corporation.
Oh, wow. Great work, Walker. Jerry, what strikes me about what Walker just said is, you know, we've heard a variety of things about how corporate engagement has been used in the past to drive a political agenda. What I'm hearing from Walker is we're using corporate engagement to both protect children as well as to make sure that people are treated fairly across the board. This isn't about just one narrow group trying to lobby for a political perspective, right?
Right. So you notice Walker is not saying that he doesn't want John Deere to match grants to the Human Rights Campaign. He's just saying match grants to churches and synagogues as well. Don't discriminate against Christians, and don't discriminate against conservative groups because someone said they're, quote, a hate group. So there's no diminution of anyone else's rights. That's the difference between the kind of engagement that AFA and others in this ecosystem are doing. We're not trying to diminish anybody else's rights. We're just trying to make sure that everybody is treated equally. If you're discriminating against religious organizations, you're discriminating. Let me just point one other thing. I want to give kudos to AFA, because last year, before anyone was really talking about debanking, before the president called out JP Morgan Chase and Bank of America to their face in Davos, they did proposals at Bank of New York Mellon and Citigroup on the debanking issue. And basically, we were in these meetings, we were treated like fools, like contemptibly. What are you talking about? What is debanking? We don't even know what debanking means. This doesn't go on. There's no risk here. And now it is the topic du jour with the president himself, his wife having been debanked, right? Mm. And his son, Barron, having been debanked. AFA was out there saying, this is real. It happened to us. We've seen it happen to others. And now the mainstream media and the president and even the banks are starting to catch up. So some of them are saying, okay, we're going to change our policies. Well, if you weren't already debanking, why the need to change policies? Well, you were debanking. AFA was out there long before now, bringing attention to that issue.
Well, AFA has a long history of being out in front of these issues, and I'm delighted that that's now expanded to your leadership, Walker, in this area of corporate engagement. Jerry, grateful for you and your excellent work in this area. We appreciate you, my friend. Walker, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Walker.
All right. That's Walker Wildman from the American Family Association and Jerry Boyer, our resident economist, author, blogger, and corporate engagement leader. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. So thankful that we got to address so many of your questions today, really digging into God's word and really thinking about how we can be that wise and faithful steward. Big thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. On behalf of Devin Patrick, my producer, Sandy Dickinson, who manages our phones so well, and Mr. Jim Henry, who's serving me with great research and direction, and everybody here at FaithFi. May God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.